Hello and welcome to episode 65 of the Just Happy to Be Here podcast. It's me, Tanner. And as always, I am just happy to be here. Today is Thursday, August 12th, 2021. You might be listening to this on August 13th, 2021. And as always, I am joined by my good friend, Taylor Super Goose Jarman. Taylor, how you doing, man?
I'm good, Tanner. I took a test the other night. And have you ever started to take a test?
Is this like a BuzzFeed test or like
this
a
is
real
like,
test?
Here's the thing. Is maybe assessment is a better word. Someone argue that's a cinnamon bun.
It is not a spice. Assessment is not a spice. It is not.
No,
a cinnamon.
You're right. Have you ever started a test or an assessment or something and you thought it was going to be one thing and then it turned out to be a totally different thing?
Well, I can remember, well, this isn't actually a true thing that I remember, but as I get older, apparently it is. When I was younger and people said, you're going to go to school and have so much fun, they forgot to tell me that eventually it would turn into tests and quizzes and puberty. So in some ways, I think I know exactly what you're talking about. But in a more real way, I don't think I have a clue.
Well, let's just get into it. So I took this assessment because as we've talked about before, I am starting to take classes again for college classes, and part of preparation for, and I think I found out that actually it was supposed to be a first week assignment. Oh well, jump on the game. I go into this assessment thinking it was going to be this like personality thing, and I was like, okay, I think I've taken a similar class before. They want to kind of assess your personality a little bit and kind of give you an idea of what your strengths are. You know, I thought it was one of those things. Well, out of the gate, it starts asking me questions about how comfortable I am with technology. And I was like, this is not something I was expecting. And then, Tanner...
Great with an iPhone, terrible with a robot.
And then, Tanner, right after that, before I know what's happening, it is checking my reading comprehension. And then, before I know what's happening, we are assessing my grammar and my ability to format sentences. And I was like, I no longer have a clue what this is. And
so what were they assessing?
So it turns out the whole thing is to assess kind of a broad spectrum. How prepared are you and what kind of frame of mind and education you're in to start tackling classes again?
So it was a test to see if you could take tests?
Kind of. It's not like you get a certain score and they're like, okay, now you can officially go to our school. I'm already in the school, but like...
Yeah, I feel like this kind of should have came before.
Right. But it finished off with like asking about my like time management and how much time I allocate to things over the course of a week. And I was like, man, this is all over the map.
This is
revealing. And it was revealing. So that was a wild experience to say the least.
I feel like that's like the last kind of test you'd want to take. At least I would want to take, besides like the, do you remember like the president's test in
gym class?
The president's fitness test where it was like, sit underneath this box, put your legs in this box and reach as far as you can. It's like, oh, okay. First of all, I don't think any president is doing this. Like, and I'm pretty sure the way that they introduced it was like, this is what the president does every day.
No.
Not true. I don't think that was true. It was like, I forgot what else you had to do, but it was like jumping jacks and push-ups. And I was in like, you know, third grade, and they're like, do some push-ups. No, that's not going to happen. It's going to be a bunch of like 10-year-old kids rolling around on the ground. 10 years old? Eight. Probably like eight. Third grade is eight. Anyways, yeah. So did you pass? Was it like a, did they, or is it like you got a green star or how does it, how did they, how
so
did they grade you?
You just get results. And so like part of it is like they show you, here's how you ranked in each of these categories compared with the national average. And it's like, just what I was hoping for to be compared to the national average. And because, like, as soon as it started into the reading comprehension section, I just got instantly overcome with anxiety. I was like, what? I know that I can read and comprehend things, but now you're telling me to read and comprehend things.
But can you?
And you're checking my reading speed. That's a, that was another thing. They checked my reading speed. And so, like, yeah, so.
What if I get a test?
I think they've.
Does that count? Like, I'm
right,
still reading.
Yeah, exactly.
Just not reading what you gave. I'm actually an overachiever.
Yeah, I'm reading more than the allotted reading. And so, yeah, basically you get, you, that's only part of your results, though. Then they go through and they rank each very specific section of this thing out of four.
I don't like this.
So they ranked it, they ranked anything from the age of my computer, my laptop, to how well my I was comprehending these reading sections, these selections of reading, and that it was the weirdest results sheet I think I've ever read.
I do not like you telling me this is making me if someone were to say we're gonna check you out in like how's your reading level, like not how's your reading comprehension, like not good. But not like not it's not good, and I don't need you to tell me about it. And even if I thought that it was good, which it's not good, but then what if I found out that it wasn't good? And all this time I thought that I was doing just fine. But turns out, in the eyes of the world, my reading comprehension is low. This is why I didn't do well in school. I just it was who decided that this is what it was and this was the standard. Who's making these rules? Who's asking these questions? Who's pulling the levers? I want to know. I want to meet you face to face and ask you a lot of hard questions and say, why don't you just ask me things like, hey, Tan, what's your favorite color? Why is it that? That's awesome. Did you know that the national average, like, of the whole entire world, only 32% of people love royal blue? Oh, my goodness. That would be amazing. Now I learned that about myself and the world. Not about, do you know how to read this and remember it? What if I don't? What kind of person does that make me? Does that put me in a hole? Does that make it harder for me to get a job? It's just kind of eating me alive. And then how am I going to get a job after that? After knowing, oh, I don't have great reading comprehension. And then what if I decide to be a writer and that's my job? Oh, but guess what? Your sentence structure isn't good. Oh, so now I can't be a writer even if I just write a little bit different? You see what I'm saying here, Taylor? It's getting
absolutely
me fired up.
I feel that. And I go with it, man.
It's just not like this... How much longer are we going to be doing school? How much longer? These poor kids.
At least with these like broad spectrum, we're getting a little political here. At least with these like broad.
I would love
broad. I know. Finally, the hard hitting political edginess that.
We're talking education. Of all the political things that we could talk about, we could talk about rights and sexuality and race and a vaccine. No. We're going straight to education.
Straight for the gullet. But like, seriously, the state testing stuff, like where it's just like, I remember, do you remember, did you take the ACT or the SAT, Tanner?
I believe I took both of them.
Oh,
and
my.
Neither went well. It was one of those things where I think I took the ACT and they were like, oh man, maybe you should try the SAT. And they were like, oh, maybe you should go back to the ACT. So I remember getting my score for the SAT and they're like, oh, here's how you figure it. Like you add it all up or something like that. And I was like, did I miss a number? Like that, or do you just add up like these three? And they're like, yeah, it's just those three. And I was like, oh, and what did you say was bad again? And they're like, that.
Oh.
Okay, yeah, I got it. So is it a golf score? Like, do you want to be lower or higher? And they were like, you want to be higher. So I had a lot of college scholarships come in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not at all. Yeah, did you take those tests?
I took the ACT, and what I remember most, I did not score well either. But enough to get into Christian...
Well, what was it? It was science, math, and writing.
Science, math, writing.
Or reading.
And I think reading. Yeah, because there's that always that pesky reading comprehension under the gun. Because it's like, we don't care if you can comprehend stuff in the real world where there's no pressure to comprehend stuff. But now you have to comprehend stuff and you've got a gun to your face. That's a little strong. But you get my point.
It's extreme. It's extreme, but it's also...
But that stopwatch looks a little bit intimidating. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Here, answer some questions in a crowded room with no air conditioning, and you have to be quiet. And you have to use a pencil. You haven't used a pencil since grade school.
Yeah.
Here you go. Excuse me, what? I'm not comfortable, and I can't go to the bathroom because apparently that's cheating, which I certainly would have done if you wouldn't go to the bathroom.
I just remember getting to the math section and being like, I haven't been taught this math. I don't know what you want me to do. And
I remember getting to that section and saying, I was taught this math and I didn't think I'd have to use it again. So like I passed the class.
Yeah.
I passed the class. I don't need this anymore. Listen, lady, I'm gonna go into church for it, okay? you don't need math there. You get you know, three nails plus one cross equals four given. That is all the math that I need. That's all the
and probably some youth t-shirts. If the math doesn't involve youth t-shirts, get it out of my face.
Yeah. We'll go 532. Check it out. Ephesians. I'm pretty sure that's the right one.
Man.
I'm sorry. I've interrupted this story four times.
You're good. So, I think the story, like, it just took me back to those days, Tanner. That's all I'm trying to say, is where I feel like some of the things that I was assessed on, I've got like a decent handle on out in the wild. I'm not by any stretch claiming greatness by any stretch. I'm claiming competency. I think there's a difference. I'm like, I think I'm okay at this out in the wild, but now that you're timing me and you're freeze up. Got to read the same section five times.
And here's the thing. Let me tell you the thing, Taylor. These tests are in some ways they are very good. They're very helpful. However, for some people, and I would say I am one of these people, they're revealing in a way that makes you feel like you are not worthy of this job or that job because you learn in a different way or you view the world in a different way or you navigate the world differently. I'm not saying like it's an excuse, but like they're like, well, here's a great outfit. Everyone's going to wear it and fit into it. And for people like myself, I'm like, that doesn't work for me. Like it's the way that cloth is cut is not going to fit my body. If that makes any sense. And I think it does, but it's just like, there's gotta be another way because we're not all the same.
Right. Well,
and that is political.
But like, especially as it relates to learning styles and taking in information and I know that it bummed me out pretty bad when I scored really low on the ACT, but like I was an honor student in my classes and then it's like suddenly that doesn't matter anymore. Suddenly it was like, oh, didn't get taught this math. Too bad. You know, and it's like, we gotta figure something out for that.
Two things before we move on. And this is the longest intro we've done in a while, and I'm very okay with it. In college, I was on the on track to become a teacher.
Yeah.
And they make you take a test to become like an education student, essentially. And it's very similar. It was like the basics of math, science, reading, and writing. And I passed the math, passed the science, passed the reading, and did not pass the writing. And so I could retake it. And I think I eventually took it again and passed. But it was one of those things where, oh, I'm not a good writer, but I really love to write. No, you write in a different style than this. Doesn't mean you're a bad writer. It means you need an editor, right? You can be a great writer and a terrible editor. Someone might disagree with me on that, but I will disagree with them if they disagree with me. And that is political. And then The other one that I was going to say is I totally forgot. So it doesn't really matter at this point anymore. But I remember that. Like, oh, maybe I can't be a writer because of this. But no, you can't limit yourself based on a test score. So
can't do that.
I wish I could remember the second one because I think it was going to be, there was a funny joke in there somewhere. Besides myself. Hey, before we jump into what our world is celebrating today, we have a sponsor, same sponsor from last time. And so if you like this show, the Just Happy to Be Here podcast, you might also like The Craft, which is a show on the 1517 Podcast Network hosted by Blake Flatley. Every week, Blake invites a guest to discuss their vocation through the lens of artistry, theology, and culture, exploring the how and why of what they create. You can find this show by visiting 1517.org/podcast or by searching The Craft in your podcast app. And there also will be a link in our show notes as well. Not only is today a day when Taylor is recovering from his assessment, today is also National Julienne Fries Day. And yes, we had a hard time pronouncing this word, but we have our good friend Google to help us out with this. The word is spelled J-U-L-I-E-N-N-E. And we were kind of like, is it this or is it this? But this is what it is, if you can hear it.
Julienne.
One more time.
Julienne.
So that's how you pronounce it.
I heard it.
And so you're like, okay, well, those are French fries. But those are the shoestring, the matchstick French fries. They tend to be crispier and often are perfect in every single way. Taylor, what are your thoughts on shoestring French fries and where do they rank among other French fries?
Yeah, you know, I'm gonna say that I like my fries a little bit thicker than that. If they get too thin, now I think some of this is up for debate though. When we're talking shoestring fries, are you thinking like McDonald's fries? Because I love me some McDonald's fries.
No. I would say those are standard. Okay. That's a standard fry. Here's my list of French fries in my head that I've written down. It's actually from a kid's poem where I list off French fries. There are at least 10 different styles of French fries. Standard, waffle, thick cut, curly, shoestring, crinkle cut, sweet potato, wedge, and even steak, which I believe those ones are a mistake. So, like those, like the potato wedges and the steak, like that's not a French fry. That is a weird potato.
Yeah, that is, at that point, you've just got yourself like a quarter of a baked potato.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can get down. I think these are more the steak and shake French fries. Perfect for dipping into a milkshake. Delicious. You get a lot of them and you're like, but really this is like 13 actual French fries. But they've somehow made it into about 45. And so it's a mind game.
Oh, absolutely.
But I mean, you get more sauce. I think you would get more sauce with the shoestring, which is one of the top three reasons why I eat French fries is to get the sauce.
Right. You're a sauce guy. Mm-hmm. Big sauce guy. Everything is a vehicle for the sauce.
Mm-hmm. Yes, very true. I've done other podcasts where we rank sauces, and I got really into that at one point in my life. But we don't need to get into that now. That is for me and my therapist to talk about. Big fan of the shoestring fries. Taylor, you told me something interesting before the podcast started, and I was hoping that you would share it with.
Yeah, so we got a weird one today. Weirder than usual, maybe, is a better way to phrase it. Because we, Tanner, after being, and I don't think this is overstating our position at all, experts on what the national days are. Or at least having, the 10,000 hour rule, I feel like maybe we've spent close to that with national days at this point.
Yeah, we're professional
podcasters. Yeah. But I came across this strange article where that today, apparently, there was a semi-large gathering of people who decided today was Global Middle Finger to End Christianity Day.
And now that we know that we have the listeners...
Now we know.
Welcome.
Now we know.
Welcome to
And they made a bit of a bold claim, Tanner. They said global. The last count of people that were going to be participating was about 4,500, which is given the world population is like 7.5 billion. It's a little low for global. Mm. And are you still a Christian?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
100%. I don't see that changing.
Yeah.
We can talk about that.
But yeah. Going, so yes. I am too. And I would say, you know, to these folks, I don't know what has made you so angry. I definitely know that there's this thing in us called sin. And I hope that, you know, I hope you're okay is what I'm saying. Mm. And I think that if you dig into, biblical Christianity, you'll find a gracious God. And so my hope is that you would find him, or that he would find you.
For the most part, Christians are a terrible example of Christianity. I, being one of them, I would say in certain times of my life where, you know, you the way that you, that's not portraying the way of Jesus. Right. And there've been times where it's like you live it out, and other times where you don't, and we bank on grace and we lean into that. But it's sad because there's the response to a group of people whose ideas are different than you, and you respond with hate. Now, we can say that, you know, there are different sects in Christianity who do similar things to other groups of people, and that's not okay. However, this is just kind of, you know, I guess similar to that, but they're against something that we view as good and hopeful and saving. And I just, like you said, like I wish they could see it for the true, for what it is.
Yeah.
For who he is.
Yeah. And I know some of these tend to be responses to caricatures of the real thing. Some of it is, you know, maybe it is a genuine hate. I don't know the situation of these people. But I know that God is incomprehensibly gracious and loving. Mm-hmm. And I mean, proven ultimately with Christ on the cross. I mean, the odd day, but my prayer for these people is that they would come to know the God of the Bible.
Yeah. And if Jesus were given an assessment, he would score very high, but perfectly, and I would say grace and forgiveness. Not, to be honest, not quite sure what his reading comprehension was, but I gotta say, actually, it was probably super high because, I mean, he had the Old Testament pretty much memorized. Okay. And also, he was the Word. So, you gotta have pretty good high reading comprehension for Jesus. Going into what August 13th is, there are three things. National Filet Mignon Day, National Left-Handers Day, and National Blame Someone Else Day. So I guess the National Blame Someone Else Day could have actually fallen on Global Middle Finger to End Christianity Day. That probably would have worked well. But I would say, when thinking about Jesus, I have, it's not in the Bible. I gotta believe, though, that he was a left-hander. I gotta believe Jesus was left-handed, because lefties just do everything so smooth, right? Like just like, so like when, in my mind, when we read stories and, you know, Jesus heals the blind man, he reaches out his hand. He's reaching out his left hand, not his right hand. Like he's like, lefties are just smooth. They always do things differently in an artistic kind of way. Like I just got to think, like, Jesus was, he was a lefty, and you can fight me on that, but I'm pretty sure he was a lefty. And that's when I get to heaven, one of my first questions I'm asking after, is Pancake here. By the way, Pancake is doing well, but at some point in time, he will be there, or I'm going to ask. So anyways.
Yeah.
Thoughts on a Left-Handers Day or Filet Mignon Day or Blame?
I'm a big fan of Filet Mignon. Good with some steak fries. Or not.
Very good.
Either way. Left-handers, got to appreciate them.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Gotta appreciate him.
Everyone's
in place. Shout out to my cousin Micah, who's left-handed. Incredible artist.
Oh, also, exactly. I was going to say the same thing. Incredible artist. Not because he's a lefty, but it's got to help. If anyone's wondering, we are right-handed.
Mm, yes. So, yeah, and I cannot draw for anything. So you draw your own conclusions about that.
Ah, and if we're right-handed, you're right-handed, we know how bad it's going to look. Anyways. Also, we got to get some filet mignon tomorrow. And I I'm going to get filet mignon, eat it with my left hand, and then blame the person who made the filet mignon for not being
Oh, man, right. Even if it is. Oh.
Yeah, that's how you got to do it. Taylor, what have you read recently?
I readed, rounded, a quote. This is actually today. I found this quote from there's actually a little bit of debate over this because he's broadly considered an American theologian, but he was born and died. He was born and then he died.
yes. Well, that's usually the order that
I was making sure I wasn't phrasing that in a way that was just totally off the wall. But like he lived the span of his life is what I'm trying to say, Tanner. In the time on like American soil, but before America, like the United States of America was a thing. And so anyway, you figure that out. You do that math equation. I've done enough math today.
We'll assess that later.
I actually put this quote up, but I've got a new desk with my new secretary job, and I've been bad at nesting. Nesting is a thing with a desk in the past where you just kind of like put some personal touches in there. I pretty much have never done that. And so I was like, let's start with this. And came across this quote, and I was like, that's going to be part of my nesting for sure. And this quote from American or not theologian Jonathan Edwards says, "I assert that nothing ever comes to pass without a cause." Mm. And which to me, again, like, and knowing about Jonathan Edwards a bit and knowing that he just strongly believed in the sovereignty of God and God's authoring purpose into every second of our lives. I think sometimes, and I know sometimes my tendency to, when I hear something like this is to think just like, oh, if a coincidence happens, that's kind of like, ooh, suddenly that was like a God thing. But nothing ever comes to pass without a cause. And I feel like we tend to come back to this quite a bit, Tanner, but just like knowing that God has authored purpose into every moment, into everything, whether it on the whole spectrum, be it suffering to great times of happiness and joy. That's sweet confidence, and great cause for praise, knowing that nothing is wasted and comes from a God who caused it to happen.
Yeah, and believing that he's in it all.
Yeah.
And that there's purpose in every moment. And not in some sort of like Instagram kitchen kind of way.
Right.
And not even to like silver line everything,
right.
But that there's purpose in all of it. And he's behind it, right? And to really lean into, I think it's a hard thing to be like that God is in control and that he's the author of it all. And at the same time, we know how the story ends.
Yeah.
Right. And to trust in that and to hold on to that. That's good. I assert that nothing ever comes to pass without a cause. That's a good thing to have at your desk. People have like pictures of their dogs and their family. Nope. Taylor's got this deep theological quote where people come up and look at it and be like, oh.
Okay. Wow.
I mean, okay. I will have pictures of my wife. Like, that's going to happen.
Yeah. Well, and meanwhile, like two desks down, Karen's got like it's wild out there, you know, like it's.
And we love Karen for it. We do.
We do. We do because it's all we don't disagree with her. Oh, I think that this perfectly sums you up in the best possible way as a human being. This is the quote that you have chosen, and I love. Oh, I love it.
Oh,
I love
man. It. Tanner, what have you been reading rounding recently?
Let me tell you. Thanks for asking. So we're up at Camp Arcadia in Arcadia, Michigan, and really fantastic place. And every week they have a dean come up and speak. And so in the morning, they'll talk for about an hour, a little over an hour. And this week, my friend, Pastor Ryan Tinetti, is talking about anti-fragile faith. And anti-fragile is this word made up recently. But basically, anti-fragile faith is moving through hardship and growing stronger. And he's talked about, you know, what is anti-fragile faith, anti-fragile forgiveness, anti-fragile fellowship, and just kind of talked about all these different ones, anti-fragile suffering as well. And the other day, we were talking about hospitality while talking about like fellowship and community. And he shared this quote from Jen Wilkin, and Jen Wilkin is an author and a Bible teacher, but she wrote this on practicing hospitality. Entertaining is always thinking about the next course. Hospitality burns the rolls because it was listening to a story. Entertaining obsesses over what went wrong. Hospitality savors what was shared. Entertaining, exhausted, says it was nothing really. Hospitality thinks it was nothing, really. Entertaining seeks to impress. Hospitality seeks to bless. And I really like that quote. And kind of when talking about community, when talking about fellowship, when inviting people into your lives, and I think we all have these different comfort levels. But I know for us, we invite people into our house, and I'm somebody who likes to clean up before people arrive, not so that it'll look perfect. Or to hide the mess of our lives, but because it makes me feel better. But I've wondered if by doing that, they think that I had to clean up for them. And really, I was cleaning up for myself. Like, them coming over was an excuse for me to clean up. But like, I think there is something about inviting others into your mess and into the things that you wrestle with like, is God is really in control, but why is this happening? Like to invite people into your questions and your wonderings and your struggles, which is hard. And Ryan was talking about, and if I can find it, but kind of how, like, in order for us to do this, like we got to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
Right. To be vulnerable is very freeing. And, allows us to go deeper with the people that are around us. And I thought that was, is really, really good. And he also shared this fascinating stat. Well, not necessarily a stat, but, a quote from former U.S. Surgeon General, Vivek Murthy. And he says, during my years caring for patients, the most common pathology I saw was not heart disease or diabetes, but it was loneliness. Mm. And I think that is a reason why we gotta keep inviting people into our homes and into our lives, because loneliness is sad. It's hard.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I really like that quote.
It's a good quote.
And I've really just enjoyed what my friend Ryan has been sharing all week, and he's a fantastic. He actually, I was talking to him the other day, and I tell him I have to go home and do a podcast with my friend Taylor. And I was like, actually, you remind me a lot of Taylor. And do you know what quote that he has at his desk at work?
It can't be.
Yeah, I'm just kidding.
Oh, man.
Kidding. But yeah, yeah. And just the idea of like entertaining is always thinking about the next course, but hospitality burns the rules.
Yeah.
Things aren't going to go right. They're not going to go perfect, but I'm just happy you're here and I'm just happy to be here.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Well, and that's good. I think that folds in as well, just with what we were just talking about, knowing that, nothing comes to pass without a cause. The people in our lives are not there without a cause. And I was thinking about John 13:34-35 today, because our youth group is prepping for a big serve night, and where Jesus teaches the 12 that one of the kind of the primary way that we demonstrate that we are disciples is that we love one another, and how we love one another, and displays for love, displays of love to one another inside the church, especially in this hospitality thing. Of obviously hospitality to those not just inside the church but outside as well, and opening our homes. What a way to demonstrate that I believe that you're not in my life without cause. I'm going to let the love with which my Savior has loved me spill over into you.
Yeah.
And I, Tanner, I partly shared that quote today, my quote. And
wait, are you saying that there was a reason behind?
Oh my gosh. Just that the,
and that's how you know. And not only that, but as you're about to say something very serious, I interrupted you. And that is exactly what happens.
That's right.
On a podcast. That's
exactly right. But Tanner, I, you and I have had a big conversation recently, and, or a few conversations. And just as I am looking at this next season of life and seasons of life that have transpired recently, and assessing and looking at everything, we've kind of, or I had to come to the place of saying that I have to be off the podcast soon. And that we will be wrapping up the Just Happy to Be Here podcast with one more episode after this.
Episode 66. 66 for the number of books in the Bible.
And that's how you plan it, because you're a professional podcast.
Professional podcaster. Yeah, we talked a couple days ago, and your life is about to get even more busy with, I don't know if people understand like what you're juggling right now. Full-time job. You are interning at as a youth worker in a church. And if you're interning at a church, it means you're also working full-time at a church, and you're starting school again. And for us, the podcast takes up a little over an hour every Thursday evening. And it's gotten to be, I mean, it's a big commitment. And man, I have loved having you on this podcast, and I've enjoyed greatly just talking with you and joking around with you. But I think this is like, the podcast has been a pretty good teacher for us. Not one that's going to have to assess us in any kind of way. There's not going to be a podcast assessment that I'm going to send you after this. If I did, you would have done a great job. I'm going to send you a green gold star. Yeah. And so I honestly, I'm not too sure what's next for the Just Happy to Be Here podcast. I do think that the Just Happy to Be Here podcast is going to ride off into the sunset. And who knows? Maybe in 10 or 15 years, maybe in retirement, we'll bring back the podcast.
In the same retirement home.
But in the same... Oh, but could you imagine? Can we for a second imagine for our generation, what is a retirement home going to look like? It's going to be so, like, they're going to have to redo a lot of things. And it's also going to cost way too much money, because our generation tends to be quite picky. It's going to be weird, though, I think. It's like every room you walk into, it's going to be like reruns of the Breakfast Club. Thankfully. Yeah. But I'm not sure what's next with podcasting. I think I'll probably, I've been thinking about it a little bit today, and I need to get some thoughts from some friends. You, Taylor, I'm going to call you later this week. I might try to do something on my own. Maybe like a little 15-minute podcast every other week or something with some thoughts and some poems. I don't know.
Yeah.
But we'll see. But Taylor, I hope that you know, and I want to say this publicly so that everybody knows, that I love you, and I'm just, this was the best. And at some point, things do come to an end. And so it's not something, ooh, this is going to be something that's also on Karen's desk. It's not something to mourn, but it's something to celebrate. Yeah. And I will celebrate with a nice pour of whiskey and a donut and a filet mignon.
Yeah.
Mm. Cooked incorrectly, and I'll eat it with my left hand. Taylor, this was fun.
And
but we have one more episode.
And if I could just say real quick, I love you too, man. And it has been such a blast getting to be on the podcast with you and getting to be asked by you in the first place. Back, if our listeners remember, when it was the Written to Speak podcast. Oh, and yes. So it was just, just exciting to be able to get to do something like a podcast with one of your best buds. And so this
dating back to January 18th, 2019 is when you made the episode 5. You made your first appearance on the Just Happy to Be Here podcast. And then you made an appearance again on February 21st, 2019. And then March 10th, 2020. And then you came on full time June 22nd, 2020.
Crazy.
Wow. We basically talked through a pandemic, which was
You gotta talk your way through a pandemic.
Yeah. Yeah. This was the best, man. Thank you so much for sharing your life with me in this way. It means a lot.
Well, likewise, man. And we've got one more episode next week.
Yeah.
And Tanner.
And you.
I'm just happy to be here. Buckle up.
All right. Buckle up, because I'm just happy to be here. All right, Taylor. I'll talk to you next week.